Okay, let's say you got a soul. Let's say you acknowledge it. You may not quite know what it is, but let's say you've got one. Give me some hints. Give me some hints, Dr. Q. Give me some hints. What's going on here? How does this kind of work? Well, let's look at how we came to the vision of a soul. And let's not go any further back than Christianity in the Middle Ages. Let's go into that particular era, okay? You know that the soul for Christianity is something which comes onto earth for a little while and then goes supposedly, hopefully, into heaven to abide with God for the rest of eternity. For Brahmins and for Hindus, it kind of transmigrates. It journeys from life to life, from one incarnation to another. It can migrate even from one person to another. It can even go from a human to an animal form, or from an animal even to a hell world, from a hell world into heaven. And so just as a person changes houses, your soul can change into all these things. And for some of us, that seems very frightening, whatever this soul is, to have to do that kind of thing. One Buddhist disciple whose name was Nagarjuna wrote in his Treatise on Relativity that all of hell is produced by the imagination, that fools and simple people are cheated by error and illusion, and the delightful heavenly palaces are also is equally deceiving and are constructed by the imagination. There's a famous story about Bodhidharma, and he lived in southern India, and he went on to teach Buddhism about 500 CE. I guess that's 500 years after the Common Era, or after the birth of Christ. And he taught the meaning of hell to his disciple. He was trying to explain to his disciple what hell was all about and what the soul essence of hell was. And an argument had ensued, and a Chinese prince who had denied the existence of hell came upon the scene, and Bodhidharma affirmed the existence of hell, and the student was kind of confused by this. After the master patiently explained the existence of hell, the prince had actually become very, very excited and heated, and his attempts to convince the great Indian teacher that, you know, hell's got to be real, or what is going on here? What do you mean by hell? And at this point, with the prince being so excited and so adamant and so angry, Bodhidharma said, "Well, you want to know something? Hell exists, and you are in it right now." And this kind of explains a little bit about how we get the notion of hell. Hell are those moments that we go through when everything seems to go in the wrong direction. We want to know, why are we having these horrible times? Why do bad things happen to me? I'm such a good person. Why does horrible things happen to me? I'm a good person. I shouldn't have to go through this. Well, let me tell you a story that I found very remarkable. There was a film that played several years ago. It was called Jacob's Ladder. I don't know if any of you remember seeing that film. It was a remarkable story. A Vietnam War veteran wakes up from a nightmare while riding a subway in New York City. You know how you're on a subway train and subway ride is boring. Suddenly you jolt awake and you may have missed your station. You don't know. It seems that something went wrong in Nam. A number of soldiers got wiped out. And our hero, the guy that just woke up, whose name is Jacob Singer, remembers receiving a bayonet in his belly. And he then suffers a series of very bizarre episodes. He tries to get off of the train. He tries to go out of the station. And whatever station exit he tries to find to get out, when he gets off the train, it's blocked. And finally, he can only go out one particular exit. So he goes out that exit. And he goes home. He's a postman. He's a mail deliverer. There's his wife. His wife's name is Jezebel. She's concerned about him. And but he kind of knows he's married to her, but he kind of feels, you know, you're not really my wife. I remember being married to another person. And he has these flashbacks of this other life, kind of. And even when he's walking in the streets, these ghostly like beings, frightening beings, pop up in his existence and scare him. And he wonders, what the heck is going on? Why is he having this nightmarish existence? He finds himself at a party and he feels like he's in hell, because while he's at the party, a psychic comes up to him and says, "Guess what, Jacob? You are already dead." And this really scares him. I mean, he's alive and walking around. You know, he just got through delivering the mail. He's married to Jezebel. What is going on? What do you mean he's already dead? What kind of world is he in if he's already dead? And these various mysterious men in black pop up around him with white faces. And he keeps having this image of the nightmarish battle in Vietnam. He's afraid. And in order, when he gets fearful, he goes to his chiropractor, who always manages to crack his back in just the right way to lift his momentary fears. His chiropractor, his name is Louis. And Louis is kind of, you know, very angelic looking kind of a guy. He's a big husky guy, but he's kind of, you know, nice guy kind of features. And he's adjusting him and so forth. And Jacob is, he's really afraid. And he starts telling Louis about his fears and these faces that crop up and what happened in Vietnam. And he's afraid. And Louis tells him, well, you know something, according to Meister Eckhart, hell isn't what it appears to be. All these gruesome characters and all those unpleasant memories that keep cropping up for you, that appear in hell, are only attempts for you to aid your soul, to aid your soul on its journey by, if necessarily, painfully tearing away memories which are holding the soul to earth. Jacob, are any things holding you right now? Anything you're worried about? Of course, Jacob is very worried about a lot of stuff. But he says, according to Eckhart, Louis tells him, once the soul lets go, these hellish creatures vanish. The hell world dissipates, and the soul returns to the light. It goes to where it has to go. In other words, all that hellish stuff that keeps happening to you is only there to help you. Help your soul move on to the next phase of its existence. Well, Jacob finally learns that he actually is dead and that he's in what is called a transit experience, that the New York City, the being a mail person delivering the mail, these are all symbolic parts of his life. And he's remembering, and he's remembering the Jezebel creature is there to aid him, to assist him. And the hellish creatures are cropping up, are also there to remind him that to let go, that he actually was bayoneted in Vietnam. It was an experiment gone wrong in which doctors had injected troops with some kind of drug to make them fight more ferociously and blah, blah, blah. None of that's really important. The important thing here is to realize that the hell world is to your benefit. You go to hell not to get stuck there. You go to hell to burn away those things which are holding your soul from making the journey. In other words, it's to burn away your addictions, your attachments, the things that you're holding on to that are keeping you from realizing who you really are. You are the real creator. You are the creator of your hell world. You are the creator of your heavenly world. You are the soul. And it's the soul, in other words, myself, to whom I'm talking.